So on this third Sunday of Advent, our attention again goes back to the central character by the name of John the Baptist, the one who was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And last week, we just heard his call from the desert, calling us to repentance, turning around our lives, humbling ourselves, and coming back to the promised Messiah. He challenged us to have a different kind of Christmas. And that was the task of John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Christ. He was the one who is ahead of him, getting the world ready for the coming of the promised Messiah. So this week, we're coming back again on this Matthew's Gospel, which is more a very different context. John here is no longer in the desert baptizing people at the River Jordan. Where is he there now? He was in prison, awaiting for a possible execution. Our text invites us to immerse ourselves into the story of John the Baptist in the hope that we will intersect that with the meaning of the third candle, which is the candle of joy. The question for us as we dive into God's word this morning, what lessons can we learn from Matthew's gospel about the meaning of joy? How can we find true joy even in the midst of a messy and a broken world? Let us pray. Holy God, there's so much cluttering our minds and our schedules and our thoughts this morning. But for just one moment, we ask that you will remove us and remove all these things that are hindering us from hearing your word. May I be faithful to your word, and may I be out of your way. And you unleash your power of the Holy Spirit in and through us, so that we will leave this place renewed, refreshed, and transformed. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Has there been a moment in your life when you feel that it was just simply overwhelming? You got one thing after the others. I heard this when I first came to America, that when it rains, it pours. Overwhelming is an understatement about what happened to me this past week. It was filled with roller coaster of emotions. It's been one thing after the other. My mom was sent Monday to UNC Chapel Hill to address her physical health. She was 89 years old. She's 89 years old right now, turning to 90 next year. She was discharged Thursday, only to come back on Friday when we hear from the other side of the line that she was unresponsive. I was like, my anxiety should shut up there. And I just could not say, why this happening right now on this third week of Advent? I have to deal with this while Judy and the girls are out of the country. I always lean on them. They're not here beside me. Christmas season is always a full of emotions for me. I've lost my sister on day before Christmas, as I've shared with you all. All of this are all taking place at the same time. And I'm sure that you've all been there. It's easy as Christians to say we should have this joy through every circumstance, and that too shall pass. However, when you've gone through one trial after another with no end in sight, it's hard to have joy and persevere despite difficult circumstances. We've all been through trials and tribulations and challenges. And I'm sure some of you are going through that right now. And so how do we persevere joyfully when life storms leave us physically, emotionally, and spiritually drained? Where do we find strength? The Matthew's gospel brings us back into this central character by the name of John the Baptist. This time he's no longer out there in the desert baptizing people and calling people as he prepared the way of the Lord. The setting was in a prison cell. He is in prison awaiting for a possible execution. He was put in prison by King Herod, as you all know, after he confronted Herod for acting unlawfully when he married his brother's wife. So his wife Herodias convinced her husband to have John arrested, and eventually, as we all know, he was beheaded. His head was put on a platter. But for now, the story brought us to this context that he is in prison. And there's a good chance that he will be executed anytime. Life was simply overwhelming for John the Baptist. But I don't think that any of that is troubling John. Because he had spent his adult life in the wilderness. He was very eclectic. He clothed himself in camel's hair. You all know that, I'm sure. He survived the eating locusts and wild honey in the desert. Have you tried that before? He preached fearlessly. He go from one place to another baptizing people without worrying about any of those consequences. In other words, prison was probably the least of his worries. But if you notice in the text, there's something that was bothering him, which is completely different. It seems that he was beginning to doubt, beginning to lose his faith that Jesus is the promised Messiah. After all, he was born to prepare the way of the Lord. He had devoted his life doing this, but now he wasn't seeing any evidence that Jesus really was the one. At least from his own perspective. Rome was still in power. Herod was still as corrupt as ever. Jesus had not restored the promised kingdom of Israel. And it seemed unlikely that he would not in the way people expected. People like John were still finding themselves being oppressed. And he is there in prison. So John is beginning to wonder if Jesus really was the promised one. Why hasn't he done all that the Messiah was expected to do? Let me stop there for a while and let's just digest this and let that sink in our thoughts. Can we see ourselves in John the Baptist at some point? We may have come to church every Sunday. We have grown in the church. We have heard God's word. We participated in the communal worship life of the church. But at some point, when you are with your loved ones in the emergency room, when you hear the bad news about your health results, somehow you asked, are you really the one? Have we said that at some point in our lives? Can we say ourselves that we can see ourselves in John the Baptist? Nothing had changed. He is still in prison. Herod is still the king. And nothing seems to have changed. So I let that digest for a while as we ask this question. How can we find true joy from the lessons of the life of John the Baptist in this story? Well, God reminds us that God is calling us to a four important message that he wants us to hear today on how we can find true joy in the midst of what's going on in our lives today. The first that I believe what God wants to remind us is for us to recognize that God is at work everywhere. Can you say that with me, church? God is at work everywhere. I want you to notice back on this text. When John had this little doubt, he sent this word to the fellow disciples and said, can you ask this question to Jesus? And this became one of the most poignant, heartfelt questions in the scriptures. He said these questions: are you the one to come, or are we to wait for another? As John ponders this lie from his prison cell, he begins to question and he begins to wonder what exactly his purpose, what his life lived. Was his life lived in vain, or did it have any purpose? Is Jesus the one or not? Was he the promised Messiah? Was it worth it? Did he really do the right thing for his life? And Jesus answered, not directly to John, but he answered his question by saying, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. In other words, Jesus is trying to tell to John, God is still at work everywhere. Jesus is still bringing good news to the poor. He is still casting out demons from those who are possessed. He's still doing miracles. These are real tangible signs that God is at work in Jesus. Isn't that what God is telling us here this morning? Amen? That God is still at work in your life and in my life today, whether we recognize it or not. Are you paying attention to the work of God that is evident everywhere? Or are you clouded with those distractions that is hindering you from seeing the mighty work of God through Jesus Christ? Do you recognize the work of God in your life today? In your families? In your career? In the church? Or even in the community? It's so easy for us not to pay attention to the work that is evident. And this past week, I've seen it most evident among the medical team at UNC Chapel Hill in Hillsboro. I've seen it in the nurse and the physical therapies. I've seen it in how they transported my mom to and from. And I can go on and go on. Recognize that God is at work. It's an important way in finding through joy this Advent. That leads me to the second point. The text not only recognizes that God is at work everywhere, but the text, the Matthew's gospel, also invites us to choose joy in all circumstances. Say that with me, church. Choose joy in all circumstances. Did you know that joy is a choice? Do we believe on that? You can choose to be grumpy. You can choose to complain every day. You can choose to see half filled instead of half full. You can choose to say negative on all the things happening. And you can also choose to be joyful. It doesn't get out of prison. Even though what happened here, when Jesus answered John, it doesn't affect John's condition or situation. It doesn't change the circumstances of his life. He will still suffer and die because of his faith. But what it does is far more significant. John chose to be joyful. John chose to be joyful because God gave him the courage and determination to choose to be joyful, even when he knows that he will be there in prison and he will be probably executed. That he can face life with courage and hope, knowing that his life really was not in vain. That he will have this joy that is deeper and more resilient, rooted in his faith in the promised Messiah and the assurance of God's presence regardless of all circumstances. I wonder if the circumstances that you're facing right now are hindering you from choosing joy. I wonder if you are in prison by those circumstances. I wonder if you are shackled by those circumstances. Joy is not defined by circumstances. Amen? True joy, true biblical joy, cannot be dictated, but whatever happening in your life, that must be to the next point. We've got to cling on to God. Can you say that with me? Cling on to God. See, church, when you trust God as your anchor, you can cast all your cares to him. It's easier to have hope and joy when the weight of this world becomes too much to bear. By trusting on the God who says he is. That's exactly what John did. The imprisoned John chose to cling on to God, even when circumstances look so bleak, so uncertain. That gave him joy. That gave him hope that no matter what, God is still in control. Can you boldly say that to yourself this morning, that God is in control of my life? Can you confidently say that today? God is in control. Regardless of what circumstance happening in your life today? Or are you in doubt to the point of giving up? See, the enemy will always try to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we have to guard ourselves. And that leads me to the final point. Not only that we have to recognize that God is at work everywhere, that we have to choose joy in all circumstances, we have to cling on to God. Finally, we have to trust on God's promises. Say that with me, church. Trust on God's promises. One of my favorite passages about the promise of God is penned by Apostle Paul, whom I believe he wrote this while he was in prison. He said this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Friends, even in uncertain times, we can rest assured that God is working from behind the scenes, in front of you, ahead of you, behind you, but he's always there for you. When we feel that life is very overwhelming, hold on to the promise of God. Trust him that he is working in and through you for your good. Some of us here this morning can resonate to my story of being overwhelmed. That you perhaps today, and those listening online, you may be facing trials one after the other. And you may be drained. This Advent, the scriptures, the word of God, invites us yet again to understand that God is still in control. Can we hear amen to that, church? That God is still restoring sight to the blind, making the lame walk, healing the sick, resurrecting the dead, and offering the good news of hope and salvation and joy to everyone. He wants you today and every day of life to find true joy that is not fleeting, that is not defined by this world, that is not even based on whatever circumstances that this world gives, but rather on the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. I hope and I pray that we will hold on to that true joy that comes from the Lord. Let us pray. We can see ourselves in the story of John the Baptist. That sometimes we are lamenting and asking these questions. Are you really the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for the another? But that was not the end of the story. Because you have reminded us, oh God, from your word, that you are still able to do miracles. That you are still able to give sight to the blind and make lame the walk and heal the sick and even resurrected the dead. All we have to do, oh God, is to pay attention to your work everywhere. Help us to choose joy in all circumstances. Let not joy be defined by whatever happening in our lives today. May we cling on to you, O God. May we trust you even more. As we become more and more like you. Indeed, O God, may we find true joy that is not fleeting or based from emotions or circumstances, but rather in your relationship, in our relationship with you. And we pray this through the power of your Holy Spirit, your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, our Messiah. And all the people of God said, Amen.